This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Sean Combs? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the controversies, then offer my analysis. Sean Combs was born on November 4, 1969, in New York City. He was raised in Mount Vernon, New York. In 1987, Sean graduated from a Catholic high school. He attended Howard University, but dropped out after his second year. In 1990, Sean started working for Uptown Records in New York City and eventually became a talent director. In 1993, his employment was terminated. Sean started his own record label and ended up working with many well-known rappers and singers. In 1997, Sean recorded his own single as a rapper using the name Puff Daddy. This same year, he released his first album, which was very well received. Over the next few years, Sean went on to have a successful career. He produced several studio albums, was featured in movies and on TV shows. He started his own clothing line and went on several tours. He changed his stage name twice, going from Puff Daddy to P. Diddy, and then from P. Diddy to Diddy. Now moving to the timeline of the controversies. In addition to his incredible success in the music industry, Sean has repeatedly demonstrated a phenomenal ability to attract the attention of law enforcement and to be involved in litigation. Here are just a few examples of various civil and criminal matters that Sean has been involved in. In 1991, Sean promoted a concert in a gymnasium at City College of New York. More attendees showed up than were expected, and 9 people died in a stampede trying to get into the gymnasium. An investigation revealed that Sean hired inexperienced security guards. He settled several lawsuits from family members of those who died. In April 1999, Sean was charged with assault after attacking a record executive with a champagne bottle. He pleaded guilty to harassment in September of that year. In December 1999, Sean and his girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, were at a club in Times Square in Midtown Manhattan when a shooting occurred. Sean was arrested after the police found 2 firearms in his vehicle. He faced 4 weapons charges and 1 bribery charge, but was found not guilty on all charges at his trial. In 2001, Sean was arrested in Florida for driving with a suspended license. In 2005, he was sued after allegedly attacking a television host. The case resolved in Sean's favor. In 2007, Sean was sued after allegedly punching a man outside a nightclub in Hollywood, California. The lawsuit was settled. In 2015, Sean became involved in a scuffle with his son's football coach. Allegedly, Sean was the aggressor, but the district attorney did not file charges. In 2017, Sean was sued by his former personal chef. She claimed that he conducted harassment of a sexual nature. The lawsuit was settled. On November 16, 2023, a former partner of Sean's named Cassie Ventura filed a lawsuit accusing him of committing an assault of a sexual nature and other offenses. The lawsuit was settled the next day. A few days later, on November 23, a second woman filed a lawsuit against Sean, making a similar claim. She indicated that he attacked her in 1991 and shared a recording of the incident with music industry workers. The same day, Sean was hit with yet another similar lawsuit from a third woman. She claimed that Sean and another man attacked her over 30 years earlier. On December 6, 2023, Sean would once again find himself accused of assault of a sexual nature. A woman said that he offended against her in 2003 when she was 17 years old. On February 26, 2024, a music producer named Rodney Jones filed a lawsuit claiming that Sean subjected him to misconduct of a sexual nature. Sean released a statement in response to many of the lawsuits which were filed against him. He said, quote, "Enough is enough. For the last couple of weeks, I have sat silently and watched people try to assassinate my character, destroy my reputation, and my legacy. Sickening allegations have been made against me by individuals looking for a quick payday. Let me be absolutely clear. I did not do any of the awful things being alleged. I will fight for my name, my family, and for the truth." Unquote. It would appear as though the federal government was not on board with Sean's "enough is enough" sentiment. On March 25, 2024, federal agents raided properties connected to Sean Combs in Los Angeles and in Miami. Sean was confronted in an airport in Florida the same day, and his phones were seized. However, officers allowed him to leave for a planned trip to the Caribbean. The government indicated that the raid was connected to allegations involving firearms, illegal narcotics, and offenses related to sex. Sean's attorney accused the government of using military-level force to execute the search warrants and stated that Sean was innocent.
So when the scammer uses the hypnotic method of building rapport, then they create dysfunctional, delusional reality.
That's how a scam begins. Convincing the mark that it makes perfect sense to hand over their money to a con artist. The Scams and Cons podcast tells you how scams are run. You'll hear how people are convinced to buy fake art, buy machines that print money, or steal your house.
I get a phone call from my wife, and she let me know that they had decided to move all our stuff out. I could no longer do anything about it except go through an eviction.
And you'll hear it from the experts, people who run the cons.
So we go to your bank, you go in and get 6,000 cash, give us each 3,000, we give you this. Uh-huh. You go home, and what you find out is cut up newspaper.
It's fun to know how the trick is done, and that's what Scams and Cons is all about. Listen at scamsandcons.com or wherever fine podcasts are found.
True terrors of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. On our podcast, Disturbed, terror takes center stage. Each episode is a journey into the darkest corners of human existence, delving into bone-chilling tales of kidnappings, serial killers, maniacs, and the very essence of your worst nightmares coming to life on this weekly true horror show. Disturbed is not for the faint of heart. It's an exploration of real, unadulterated horror sourced from everyday people. Each episode is a descent into the macabre, where we narrate stories that will leave you on the edge of your seat and crawling in your skin. We navigate the disturbing narratives that lurk in the shadows, offering a raw and unfiltered listen into the most terrifying aspects of the human experience. Enter at your own risk and let the unsettling tales unfold in the haunting realm of Disturbed. And remember, listeners, stay safe out there.
Now moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one, Sean Combs is facing several lawsuits, which would be financially devastating to many people, but may not matter a lot to him. His net worth is over $1 billion. During its peak, his record label generated $130 million in revenue a year. His own albums and singles bring in $100 million a year in royalties, and his clothing business earns him over $500 million a year. This, of course, doesn't include his many other business ventures. All the accusations against Sean have come at a financial cost to him. For example, Macy's pulled all the products from Sean's clothing line, and Hulu canceled a reality series that was planned. But he still has a lot of resources. Sean's probably not concerned too much about the civil litigation as much as by the potential criminal proceedings. Item number two, it appears as though the behavior alleged in some of the lawsuits against Sean may serve as the foundation for criminal charges. I don't know if Sean is guilty of any wrongdoing or not, but it doesn't look too good for him. He is facing many accusers who are telling similar stories. Furthermore, a few of them indicated that there are audio and video recordings of some of the alleged offenses. This is a bold statement to make if they are unable to produce anything, which leads me to believe they are telling the truth. It's also possible that the government will uncover alleged conspirators and get them to testify against Sean. For example, on the same day of the raids, an associate of Sean's named Brendan Paul was arrested on drug charges. One lawsuit indicated that Brendan was a drug mule for Sean. I would not be surprised if the authorities offered Brendan a deal to flip on Sean. Item number 3, to get an idea of what could be going on with Sean's personality, let's take a look at the claims made against him in the lawsuit filed by Cassie Ventura. This is the one that was settled one day after being filed. Here is a summary of the allegations. In late 2005 or early 2006, 19-year-old Cassie Ventura met 37-year-old Sean Combs. In February 2006, Cassie signed a 10-album deal with Sean's record label. Early in their business relationship, Cassie heard rumors that Sean was interested in her romantically, but she was disgusted by him. At her 21st birthday, Cassie received an unwanted kiss from Sean. In 2007, they had sex for the first time when they were in Miami. After this, Sean rented Cassie an apartment in Manhattan and one in Los Angeles. He showered her with gifts, including a motor vehicle, and took care of many of her expenses. Sean appeared to be gaining control of her life. As they continued having sex, many of their encounters involved substance use. Over the course of a few years, Sean allegedly committed several offenses against Cassie. A few examples: he forced her to keep a gun in her purse, beat her in a Cadillac Escalade, kicked her in the face, arranged to have male sex workers engage in activity with Cassie as he watched, blew up a car owned by someone Cassie had dated, as in used some type of explosive device to destroy a vehicle, and in 2018, allegedly committed an assault of a sexual nature against Cassie. This is when Cassie left Sean. In the description of the allegations, Cassie indicated how powerful Sean was. He was aggressive, surrounded by enforcers, and impossible to challenge. Cassie was stunned by how easily Sean was able to recruit other people to lie for him. If these allegations are true, it supports the theory that Sean is self-centered, reckless, impulsive, irresponsible, grandiose, hedonistic, manipulative, and has a sense of entitlement. One could argue that Sean has these characteristics simply based on his criminal history, even if the allegations are not true. Item number 4, what do I think happened in this case? This is just a theory, my opinion. To his credit, Sean Combs was able to build a billion-dollar music empire. The more money he obtained and the more contacts with industry professionals he formed, the more powerful he became. Sean would impress his acquaintances with ostentatious displays of wealth and make it clear that he had seemingly unlimited financial resources. People wanted to be around him because of his success and fame. He attracted an entourage and hired employees who were extremely loyal to him. Using this seemingly unassailable position, Sean mistreated people in various ways. In my opinion, most of his accusers are probably telling the truth, and I wouldn't be surprised if criminal charges were on the way. The federal government typically does not raid properties of innocent people, although one never knows. Throughout Sean's history, he has been the target of many allegations which were ultimately not proven. For example, attacking people, possessing weapons, and having any discernible talent. Maybe all these allegations against him were fabricated and will represent yet another astonishing victory for Sean. Or maybe his golden age will be coming to an end. Now moving to my final thoughts. The case of Sean Combs can be summarized in this way. A rapper denoted as Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, and Diddy dominated the music domain with dazzling and dedicated distinction. His demeanor, often displaying disorderly and dubious deeds, dictated a deeply damaged dignity, despite having devoted defenders. During a brief duration, dire accusations drenched his dynasty, which led to a debate about what Diddy did or what Diddy didn't do.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.
You might be surprised to know that not all serial killers are straight, cisgender white men. And the victims of true crime are not a monolith either. She's Wendy and I'm Beth, and together we host Fruit Loop's Serial Killers of Color, a true crime podcast.
Together we take deep dives into the true crime stories about marginalized and minoritized perps and victims that often go untold.
We also provide the context and nuance that these stories deserve. At Fruit Loops, we're serving up true crime with a side of history, society, culture, and some fun.
Listen to Fruit Loop Serial Killers of Color on Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.